Our computer or our Zoom has decided it's wanting to run an update, so I can't see half of you right now. Well, now we can. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like a, all, we're like, why doesn't Zoom do updates at the end when you get off?
Well, good morning. We're here with Marcus and Heather Rudd. Where are the kids this morning? Are they going to join us?
No, they're sleeping right now.
Yeah.
We're going to just let them do that.
Absolutely. Well, let's just jump in. Why don't you guys start and give us an update on what's going on in your life and then with the ministry down in Reynosa?
Is our okay. Well, it's, I don't know, I guess it's kind of a mixed, it's hard to separate the two sometimes. Of course, we're coming off of the summer, the busy summer work team season. And, Heather and I have been doing the summer internship program the last couple of years. So it really becomes all consuming, you know, but it's sustainable for a couple months. So it's not too overwhelming, but it is, you know, kind of takes on your whole program. So we wrapped up, right at the end of July. And then our
We missed
family.
you guys. Oh, we were so sad not to see y'all.
So disappointing, but we have a team getting ready. We're already planning for next summer. We're
Right.
for a week. Nick Freeman's gonna lead the trip, so it's already looking more positive.
Awesome, awesome.
It's funny. It's still, I mean, what, we're 3 years out from the pandemic, and it just feels like it's still, you know, when we're on these annual schedules, it's still just, it, you know, we're all still kind of recovering our rhythms from
Exactly.
that time. But so our family was able to take 2 weeks, and we went up to Colorado to visit my family there and spend some time with some other missionary friends of ours who serve in Mexico City. So they have kids our age, so it was fun to do a little joint family vacation. So that was just a nice getaway, change from the pace. I'd like to say it was cool. It certainly was cooler than it has been here on the border, but I guess summer's been summer all over the map this year.
Yeah.
But so now it's back to rediscovering our rhythms for the fall, after the big summer work and getting the kids back in homeschooling, Heather and the kids back in homeschooling. And
We got off to a rough start this year because of just illness. Like, I feel like we just keep getting the same stuff and passing it to each other So yeah, like day one, we're starting school and caller wakes up and is not feeling well. And you know, so it just kind of threw everything off. And then I was the last to get it. And, you know, so it's been a very slow start to our rhythm. But we do have a middle schooler now. So Calder is in sixth grade. Samantha is in third grade. And Penny is in obedience school. Our dog, she's here crying. But in that vein too, one of the things that we're trying to do more this year is try to have more opportunities to do things with friends. And so Calder is actually in a co-op that he's taking an apologetics course. And so like pretty rigorous, you know, but like they're doing for the whole year. It's on Tuesday mornings. And he has to give speeches. So this morning is his first speech that he has to give. And so y'all could pray for him for that.
Well, I think in
It's great. That's outstanding.
Well, and it's, you know, it's like we recognize that it's like that's a lot. And like our expectations is just like that you go and you learn more information and you learn how to take notes and you learn how to, you know, give speeches. It's within a small group. He's not in front of the whole class or anything like that. And that you're with peers. So, you know, that's one thing he's doing. And then while he's doing that, I'm doing a science unit with Samantha and another friend. And then we're doing like a gym club and stuff like that. So we're trying to do more things where we have getting out of the house, doing things with friends in our rhythm. But we're not used to that, so we're having to adjust and figure out everything, and that's been, you know, stressful. Like, how are we going to pull this off, really?
It's getting us hard.
Yeah.
So. Well, I saw, I guess, on some social media that the deaf school has just started back, too.
They started back yesterday, and they have 5 new students. So that's exciting. Yeah, so like I think 42 were on the rolls.
Yeah, but you can pray. We lost a teacher. She resigned. She said it was stressful. I think there was other things going on.
She's got some sort of vision thing going on. Like she's having a hard time seeing, and it's like they're wanting her to not be on, you know, not be on screens, not be on that. And so like a lot of the preparation stuff, a lot of the stuff that she would need to be doing in class, and she just, you know, felt like it was too much, but she was great. Her name was Deanna. And so we're praying that, you know, she kind of resolution.
The other teachers taking over, you looking for somebody else right now?
Yeah, I think we're always, you know, looking. It takes so long to train up a new teacher. You know, they just don't come. Even if you have someone who has teaching experience, they don't come with the deaf experience. So we're always on the lookout. But you know, we tend to see disruptions like this right before programs start. You know, it's the same before the summer, and so there really is a spiritual warfare aspect to it. So I think it'll be fine, you know, for the school, but boy, the director, I mean, it's just, that's real stressful for her, you know, trying to get everything ready and then to lose a key player right before.
And I think that means she's doing more, you know, she's doing more of like jumping in the classroom and teaching. So just for her and for the other teachers as they shift around and everything.
Well, Marcus, give us an update on the summer projects and the, you know, a bunch of us worked at the School for the Disabled with Siri. Mm-hmm. How is that going this summer?
It's going great. Yeah. So we continue to work, with Siri. We split our time this summer between, Siri's, the Disability Center and the school as well. Just kind of doing some, sprucing up things, painting classrooms, getting things ready for the next year. But this summer, we concentrated on, wrapping up the classroom space that we had started originally. So we put up the last wall there. And now the next steps will be sort of getting electricity in, getting, you know, doors and trim in place. But now that's an enclosed space. You know, a little more protection from the elements for them. They're already using it. You know, when we showed up the first week of the summer, she just has the walls painted, you know, with, you know, classroom themed, drawings, and then, desks and tables. And then at one point I think it was like a Valentine's Day bazaar where they were selling items, so that, you know, it's always, she's, don't worry, we'll move all this stuff when you guys come. So she's always so excited to have us. And then the other big project is we're putting up a wall behind the property where next door to her property was sort of a derelict the old construction site. It was supposed to be a bazaar. So there's a lot of little booths that are, you know, unfinished and in disrepair. So she's got a lot of people, homeless and drug addicts that are back there. And so just for the safety of the kids and of the institute. So we're putting up a wall. It, you know, it's proven to be a large project. We got about, we're probably about halfway done with the real labor. You know, it looks maybe a third complete. So we'll continue it on next summer. But But it was good, and it was a hot one. We had a joke. Our summer interns had a joke this year that, things keep happening, and you missionaries keep saying this has never happened before, but we've seen that over and over again. So our first work team, there was trouble. The city was having trouble with the sewage system, so it was getting backed up into the street. It was pretty okay. bad. And then that got cleared out, and then we were having trouble with power and electricity.
Because it was so hot.
Kept going out, and then the heat, we've all been dealing with the heat, but the heat's been extraordinary this year. So we powered through. We had a great year with the summer interns. We had a really great team who just kind of jumped in, like I said, with all the strange happenings, all the unusual things. They really rolled with it, so. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was great. We've gotten, it's been fun to see Ugo that we met last summer.
That's right.
Almost joined the church, finished that process, and really jumped right in. So it's been fun for us who met him last year to bring him alongside of Peter. So we're excited.
And he was excited to have people, to know he was going to be arriving to people he knew. So that was good for him too.
It's been nice. What about the vocational training? Is that ramped back up?
Yeah. So, I'm taking a different role with vocational. So kind of our first term, the first 4 years, I was directing over all the vocational education and everything. And then, had gotten that to a certain level where they really needed more of an administrative hand. And then Meg came in and stepped over. And I feel like we've approached a similar phase with the manufacturing program, that I was leading, where again, we'd kind of gotten product developed, trained up our employees, and they really needed more structure. And at the same time, Tim Holliday was kind of looking for a shift in responsibility. So he came in, going into the summer, there was no way I could do both. And he came and stepped over the manufacturing projects and is just doing an amazing job. I mean, just bringing, it's funny. I watch him, just being himself, even in, for him, even like his frustrations and, the things he thinks he might need to calm down, maybe I don't need to push so hard, but I look at him, I'm like, boy, this is exactly what the program needed. And so it's been a lot of fun to watch him take that to the next level. It's getting busier. There's more work than ever to do. We're working right now on, bettering our importation process to the U.S. So far we've been able to do it as, an informal import, which is a lower dollar value. But now the projects are getting bigger and it's just not practical. And so we're working through the legal side, what kind of paperwork do we need to file? We need a broker. The first one that we approached, doesn't seem to be working. So now we're looking for someone else. And so, I'm working with Tim, on those things and, and problem solving. So I jump in and advise when I need to. So pray for Tim and that program for import or import export, and finding a partner, I think that really understands what we're doing. We're so out of the box, we don't do big volume and, we're not running semi trucks. We're a nonprofit that, there's people we've talked to and they're like, oh, you just need to do X, Y, and Z. And it's not possible. In Mexico, we don't have that tax number. We don't have that business status. And it's been a little bit tricky, just not running.
Yeah. Marcus, what are you manufacturing these days?
I'm sorry?
What are you manufacturing these days?
So we're still working, with the Frontier Medical Clinics. So this is a company that, Bib Bill started with a few other guys, a doctor, a physician, and a guy who's in Young Life. I don't know if he's still doing Young Life right now, but There's three of them started a medical clinic. It's a subscription style doctor's clinic. They've signed on over the past year, you know, they were focusing on individuals, but the past year they've signed on a couple of municipalities here in the Valley. And so that really boosted their growth. And so while we were talking about, you know, they're going to build a couple clinics every year, you know, three doctors' offices and reception and a few things, they've really grown. You know, the size of their orders have grown, the number of orders have grown. And so that's what's prompted this change in our importation processes. There's a lot of, through working with Bibb and his company, there's a lot of little products we've kind of designed and developed that we could continue on making if and when the frontier business slows down its growth. There's a few pieces of furniture, chairs, and things that we've kind of designed through this process that we'd love to be able to see, you know, sell individually. We have a contact in Austin, a lady who does, I don't know if it, I guess wholesale furniture to corporations and schools and municipalities. And when she came down and visited, when she told me the prices that they sell their furniture for, it blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. But, so we have, you know, opportunities in the future to continue working. But right now we've got all the work that we can handle. Our staff, the young men that were teaching and employing, went from three, we just had three young men to, I think we have five or six, you know, depending on, so doubled, the number of people in the neighborhood that we have a direct impact on.
And one of those is a former deaf student.
Yes. He came from the deaf school, and that's amazing. It was fun when we approached him, through the school, through his teachers at the school, the teachers told us later, he wasn't sure. He said, hearing people are scary, you know, and we're like, no, we're not scary. It'll be fine.
Oh, that's funny.
And he really is a young man, maybe 17, 18. He's doing great. They're all doing good. So it's a lot of fun. We've rehired two deaf students at the deaf school as teacher's assistants. It was fun. I had gone to the school.
No, they're not teacher's assistants. They're teachers.
Are they full-on teachers? Okay, that's fantastic. I'd gone to the school to drop some things off for Mitra, the director, and I kind of popped my head in the classroom. And so these two new teachers were there, and they were my students when I was directing the vocational program. So, you know, one of them saw me and was just, you're still so excited and, you know, waving. So that was fun. Sort of that full circle, experience for them coming back
that's great.
And it's cool to see them with the kids. You know, over the summer we did the, vacation Bible school for the deaf school. And really, like, we were just there to, like, help. They were the ones doing all the work. In giving the instruction to the kids. And so to see them in that role was fun.
That's great. Well, how's the outreach in the neighborhood there?
Things are just kicking off. We had a party for the younger kids, not this past Friday, but the Friday before. And we did, like, water games. And so we had, you know, a big bounce house with the water slide and, just some different, like, water pistols and globos, balloons. And, anyway, so it was a fun time. Tonight is, kicking off Club de Chicas. Mm-hmm. And so I think our desire this year is just to, you know, see these girls come together a little bit more. You know, you can kind of see, like, they're pretty guarded, I feel. And so if we can just sort of break through that guardedness and help them get to know one another better and us get to just know them more on a heart level. And so be praying for that. And for the boys, you know, the boys group as well. And then the the Monday night Bible study continues to grow. And then, I'm trying to think, what else are we doing? Yeah. Anyway, so it's good. It's kind of getting back in that fall rhythm. Mm-hmm. I mean, after the summer, you know, we were doing so much in the summer at the community center, and then to have that break was much needed, but now it's like, okay, we got to get our wheels running again. So, mm-hmm.
What about the immigration, the Haitians that have been in the neighborhood? Are they still around, or are they dispersing out from Reynosa?
That's been kind of surprising to me because, you know, I don't go over every day like he does. And you know, we had been on that break. And I went back over, I guess it was two Fridays ago, and I was like, where are all the Haitians? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It was sudden, and I'm not sure what happened, but they're not, we don't see them on the street as much as they were. I mean, of course, they're still around. There's one family in particular that joins us for church on Sundays. Tim and Christy bring them over to the church every week. That particular family is integrating more into the, you know, the outreach programs and the Bible study. But for the large part, you know, the sort of the overflow, the mass of immigrants that we were seeing on the streets has gone down. And so that may be that the capacity of the shelters has opened up. I do know that Haitians were having opportunities to cross. So it may be that numbers have gone down, or there was a better opportunity in another city somewhere. But it definitely, there's been a recession of the number of people that have been on the street. But it's typical for our neighborhood. You know, it'll ebb and flow, you know, it'll come back, and there'll be other things in the future, but right now it doesn't feel as intense. It's not as overwhelming as it has been. At the beginning of right before the start of the summer, we had a deaf Russian migrant show up he showed up to the deaf school. He's about 40 years old, but he showed up to the deaf school and then was redirected to us down at the mission. He had defected from Russia to avoid the draft, you know, obviously didn't believe in the war. Having a disability, you know, he would have been a really dangerous thing, you know, more dangerous for him to be drafted. He worked in a shipyard there and was trying to get to the United States, and just a deaf man. So I engaged with him, and I was able to employ him, you know, at starting out a couple hours a week down at the trade school, the vocational program. He had, he worked in a shipyard, so he had applicable skills. He was a hard worker. We would translate, we would talk through Google Translate Russian to English, written English and written Russian. Wow. And my hope was to kind of build him up and get him to 4 and 6 hours a day, you know, and he really was a good worker, but his goal was to get across to the U.S. And so he wasn't ever consistent enough at work for me to kind of integrate him more. And then one day he got an appointment and went across. And then he called me from the other side. He's like, I'm across. I said, that's great. What next? He goes, I'm waiting for you to pick me up. Oh, okay. So we housed him a few days at our home, and he didn't want to be a freeloader. He mowed the lawn, he stained the fence, he, you know, was doing work, but he couldn't stay with us. We're just not set up well for that. And so I found a local shelter here for people seeking asylum, and was able, through some other contacts we have in the city, was able to get him set up with an attorney, a pro bono attorney, and he's got an appointment in February, a hearing, you know, to decide on whether he qualifies for asylum. But it's just, it's interesting. You just don't know what you're going to get, what's going to happen. So pray for Roman. Roman's his name. He's still, his, I think his struggle now is as, he doesn't really have a status in the U.S. He's entered legally, but he's not a refugee. He's an asylum seeker. And so he can't work, through the normal, legal channels. He can't get a driver's license. You know, he just can't, he's not much he can do but wait. Just knowing him, the kind of personality he is, the way he wants to work, he really struggles with that. He asks every once in a while, he'll text and, you know, anyone has any jobs? Does anyone have any work? And, you know, we've asked around a few times, but it's, you know, without transportation, without reliable communication, it's really been difficult. So, yeah. I think he'll make it long term, but it's going to be a little struggle waiting in the meantime.
Things we take for granted, for sure.
Yeah.
Other questions around the table? No, on Zoom? I saw the boys were on there, but then they jumped off now. So maybe they had to go to school. Sometimes you get a hard question, like, what's your favorite ice cream?
Yeah. Oh, that's
a good question. Really have to put some thought.
I'm embarking on a new project with the community outreach. So we've been doing the little art projects every week with the kids. And so my degree is in art. And so I've offered to do, an advanced, you know, identify some students that maybe have a little more interest, more talent to do an advanced, art class, drawing classes. And then parlay that into, another form of outreach to the community, to see if we can kind of get a community arts program, going in the neighborhood. It's been something that God's put on my heart for the last couple years. And the folks, Christy and Mario, who are running the center, you know, it's something they've talked about. We'd like to get more. They've been really successful in getting the kids to open up through the smaller art projects. But they just haven't had the resources. So now as my responsibilities at the, with the manufacturing project, you know, the larger daily responsibilities have been handed off, then, we're looking for a new ministry to develop. So we're going to give that a try this fall and see if it catches and what we can do with that. So.
Oh, that's great. Outstanding. All right. Well, we have the prayer request that you sent us. Do you have anything else, I mean, besides what we've talked about, that you'd like to add to that?
I think my sister is on there. She did end up having foot surgery last Friday, and she has her hematology appointment this morning.
Okay.
Today. Mm-hmm. And so just praying for some answers there, like what's going on, I think is, you know, really key.
Okay. All right.
How's Nono and Kate doing?
They're doing well. So they're on a little mini sabbatical. So they're actually on sabbatical this month, but they'll be back at the end. But I got a little social visit with Kaden last Friday. And so, yeah, they're doing really well. I know they were up in, I think, Fredericksburg this weekend for a sheep show. And
yeah, Nono's into sheep now. That's the new thing.
Is Fredericksburg in Texas or Virginia?
It is. Yeah, it's like central.
I was thinking of Virginia, but that's a long way.
No. It's a good drive. It's like 5-6 hour drive from here, and it's like hill country. It's the nice part, the nicer, cooler part of Texas right now.
No, is in the sheep business now.
That's right. Make sure to give him a hard time about that.
He'll try anything, so that's not unusual.
All right, well, we can move to a time of prayer then. We'll have Bubba open us. Tom will close. Is anybody who wants to pray in the meantime? Happy to do so.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this time with Marcus and Helen. I just thank you for their service there in Mexico for many years, and Lord, the work that is going on there. And I'm just amazed how much has expanded over the years, and being involved in the outreach and the church planning and the deaf school and work teams and the vocational work and just so many different ways of being in the lives of people, young people for sure, deaf people, and then people in general, Lord, that might not know you, and through this work they come to know you. So I pray that you would use them, and that you would give them wisdom as they have so many challenges in front of them, so many different things that are going on. I thank you for this summer work and the end of the summer as they will shift over into other things. His work team will not be there, but I guess probably work teams can come all year long, but just the different things, and it's really hard for me to keep up with them, but Lord, it's a tremendous ministry, and the workers there have been so faithful. But Lord, I was convicted with a fellow named Roman to show up there. There's a Russian that really has a desire to work and, you know, get out of a country that is just so oppressive. And Lord, so many of us take it for granted here, what we have, and we are so blessed. So I pray that Roman might find a way into this country, and he might find a place, a home, a place where he can go, and Lord, that you would watch over him. So it's so many different people and so many different opportunities that are going on there, but Lord, we have the same opportunities here. I just think about the number of Hispanics we have right here in Montgomery, Alabama. It's just amazing that what we have. And Lord, I wish I could speak Spanish, but I don't. So, but Lord, open that door for us here in Montgomery. But continue to be with Isaiah 55. Continue to be with the team there. Continue to be with the work. Lord, you would encourage them. And Lord, particularly we see the number of losses and the people there connected with the ministry, Lord, that you would help them with their grieving as they've all seen people, and you would be with the other sister, Lord, your healing hand would be upon her, and Lord, you would return her to help. So I just thank you for this time that we were able to get together and to hear about the ministry and share. So be with them now in Christ's name. Amen.
Father, I just thank you for Marcus and Heather, and their commitment to Isaiah 55 and their desire to continue in this ministry over these years. Well, I just pray this fall that Marcus would find a place for his art in the outreach there, the art, the projects that could get started with that and how that could impact, the neighborhood and their outreach there in the neighborhood. Pray for Heather's sister as she recovers from her foot surgery, that there would be no complications. Pray for her appointment today with the hematologist, that they would be able to find some answers for her abnormal blood work there, Father. Pray for the deaf school that as they start up the year, that they would be able to find a new teacher to replace the teacher that they've lost, and that person would come with more skills than a normal person would, and that would be able to integrate into them. We also pray for their desire to find somebody to help them with import-export into the States, and that the right person would come along that would understand the nonprofit business and being able to help them bring things into the States that they can sell and support the ministry there that's going on. Well, I thank you for all these things in Christ's name.
Lord, thank you for this opportunity to talk to Marcus and Heather this morning. We thank you for their continued desire to serve and minister to the people in Reynosa. Lord, we thank you that they continue to touch lives from all over the world. Lord, we pray that you would be with Heather. She ramps up school this year with the children, be with them, and as they learn and want to interact with their friends. And with Calder, as he takes his apologetics course at such a young age, Lord, we just pray that you will bless him and ignite a fire in him, Lord, as he grows up, that he will love you and want to share that love with others. Lord, we just ask all this in your name.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time with Heather and Marcus as well. And thank you for their role in this ministry, and pray that you would continue to bless them and the larger ministry, the staff, bless the good working relationships. Pray for replacement of this teacher at the school. And even now, as the head of the school has to fill in, additional workload there, that you would just guide that, that education of these children would continue to go forward, that you would continue adding students to the school, and pray for the outreach ministry in the neighborhood, and that as this continues, the light of the gospel would be changing lives there in that neighborhood. I pray for the vocational education and the manufacturing and the related things of that, and that you would speed the access to the importing part of this, that it would be effective and able to be profitable for the sake of the ministry. And I pray for Marcus as he brings this art program on, and for the children who will be a part of that and others in the neighborhood, for people that may not have a lot of beauty in their lives, and yet they would learn to see your beauty, and that they would learn to see the beauty of your creation. And through this, again, that the light of the gospel would go forth into them. And pray for Marcus and Heather, their relationship, their marriage, and give them wisdom with their children, with Samantha and Calder as they raise them. And this is their role in their church, the community. Lord, we ask that you would be glorified through all of this, and that for us here in this room, that we would serve and glorify you as well, that we would use the gifts that you've given each of us to serve you well. In all these things, Lord, we ask to glorify you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for joining us.
Yeah.
Where are you from originally in the States? Not that you live in Texas, I guess, right now, but
I'm from Beaumont, Texas, which is east of Houston, in between Houston and the Louisiana border.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And then we were an Air Force family. We didn't move around as much as a lot, so I grew up mostly in Colorado on the Front Range. We were in the Denver area when I was younger, and then my parents retired in Colorado Springs, where I went to high school, and they're still there. So,
but you're mostly Texan now, because you came to Baylor and then you
stayed. Yeah, so all of my adult life's been in Texas. I've lived all up and down I-35 and Waco, Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, and now we're here in the Valley.
Well, I was just going to share with you, my daughter, Carolyn Phillips, is on the board. I don't know whether y'all know her, but...
Yeah, we love Carolyn.
That's my claim to fame, is Carolyn.
Yeah, we're excited to see her next month, because she'll come down for a board meeting next month.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you for all y'all do. It's amazing how that ministry has grown and the different things you do. So.
We kind of just feel along for the ride.
we'll keep y'all posted on our team, praying for a good turnout for next summer.
Yes.
Yeah, we're praying for that too. We miss you guys. Y'all are in our rhythm, and it was weird. It was like, wait, where's Trinity? So yeah, you gotta come fill the rhythm. Or
we'll see y'all soon.
All right,
yeah. Thanks.
Well,